is a good-looking group. All of you are good-looking. We're so glad you're here to fellowship with one another and have a great time together as we worship the Lord. And we'll want to catch announcements that need to be made. Let's see where they are. Anybody have an announcement? Well, you know what they are. If not, grab you a bulletin on the way out and you'll see what's going on for the rest of the week. Choir, we are having rehearsal Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. So just in case you were wondering, yes, we are. And we'll have a good time. Well, a couple of us spent a full week down at Dogwood Trails this past week at the GA camp for the association. And we just had a blast. And Laura is going to come now. She was one of the ones that was there, and she'll tell us a little bit about it. Come on up, Laura. Kind of give us a synopsis of what took place. Oh, I'm sorry, John. Hey, John. Good.
Okay, it was a great camp. We had 60 girls registered. We had a total of about 75 out at the camp with workers. We had 8 salvations. We had numerous rededications. It was a good, and of course, we couldn't have asked for a better camp pastor than Brother Teddy. So, you know, there you go. I mean, that just goes without saying. And the girls were very responsible. We had 2 from our church, Jochebed Villanueva and Madison Culsa, and they were had wonderful reports from them from the dorm. They stayed in the dorm. They were very dutiful about doing their work and their worksheets, and it was quite a camp. The theme of our camp was Be Fearless. Our theme verse was be on your guard, stand firm in your faith, be courageous, be strong. That's in 1 Corinthians 16:13. And all the girls could, one of the songs that we sang almost every night is Our God is an Awesome God. They learned the motions to it and everything. And it was a good camp. One of the neat things about And GAs is you have to learn your memory verses, but you have to also learn about missionaries. And Joshua 1:9 was our first one, and is our memory verse. And here is what I am commanding you to do. Be strong and brave. Do not be terrified. Do not lose hope. I am the Lord your God. I will be with you wherever you go. And on that first day, we learned about Humberto in Peru, and how Roberto and Javier was trying to witness to them, and how he finally made a profession of faith, and he was the only one in his village that accepted Jesus. And then we learned about Galatians 6:9. Let us not become tired of doing good. At the right time, we will gather a crop if we don't give up. Galatians 6:9. And on that day, we learned about Ruth and how she was courageous about leaving her country and accompanying Naomi to the Israelite nation. And then we learned about the McGibbons in Canada and how through an illness of their son went to another town. And they were led of God to sell their house and move to this town where he had had his treatments. And they set up a house. They said because they were moved and pricked in their heart that people weren't going to church and they didn't know about Jesus. So they set up a home Bible study. They bought a nice large house and their whole family uprooted and moved there. And then we found out about Matthew 5:16. This was the day we learned about Daniel. In the same way, let your light shine in front of others. Then they will see the good things you do, and they will praise your Father in heaven. And on that day, we learned about Harold, which is not his real name, but he's in East Asia. And Gary's team was witness, very faithful witness. and he was a professing atheist. And he but he was very kind, and they met the family. They even gave his grandson an English name, and he too made a profession of faith. It took many months, many visits, lots of drinking of coffee and tea, but he soon made a profession of faith. And our last verse was Jeremiah 1:7. And this really applied to the girls, because we're talking about girls who had finished the second grade through the sixth grade. But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to. You must say everything I command you to say." Okay, and this is one of the things that we need to remember. And this was on Edong Ekadim. And she saw a Christian play and made a profession of faith. Now, when she told her mother and father that she had accepted Jesus as her personal Savior, they were not happy. Okay, so, but she continued to pray. And 1 year later, her father became a Christian. And then soon after that, the rest of her family. So not only did our girls, learn scripture verse, they learned about missionaries that are alive and well and doing God's work, and how we need to be missionaries in Gun Barrel City and wherever we live, that we need to tell people about Jesus. But with the professions of faith that were made and the scripture verse that they are hiding in their heart now, they have the strength. See, they know that they can call upon the Lord and have that strength to witness when they go back to school, when they're playing during the summer. And this is what we need. This is what you and I need. This is what our youth need, is to live and move and have our power in the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura, for that great report. It was a great week. All right, I know you're ready to worship. Let's stand together, and we'll begin our singing, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." All right, you sing out. Here we go. "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Go back and sing that verse again. We have about 50% happy, and I'm happy, so happy. How can you do that? And I'm happy, so happy. Come on, let's sing that verse again, all right? I shall go to dwell in that city I know, since Jesus came into my heart. Here it comes, get ready. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. Soul like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. You better be glad Jay wasn't up here. Right, Jay? Would you have gotten on to him?
Brother Pastor. All right, let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into your house tonight and worship you. God, we are happy that you came into our heart, changed our lives, and Lord, let us tell about Jesus, and God will give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
All right, let's keep up that good singing. Sunshine in my soul. Here we go. There is sunshine in my soul today. Bowing, falling prostrate at its feet.
Father, Lord, we're so grateful to be in your house tonight, mindful, Lord, of the many blessings that you pour out upon us each and every day. Father, we just ask you to be with those that could not be here tonight, Lord, if it's because of illness. I pray, God, you just raise them up, Father. Father, be with our missionaries around the world and just supply their every need. Be with our pastor when he comes in a little while to bring the message, Lord, that we might take it and apply it to our hearts and lives. Bless this offering now, Lord, that it be precious to your name. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning,
and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. Jesus, arms.
Thank you, guys. Turn, if you will, in your Bible tonight to Isaiah. Know where that's at? 597. Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. The Hebrew prophets were either king makers or king breakers. They advised the kings. They rebuked the kings and gave them warnings. And Judah had a lot of wickedness in it. And in Isaiah chapter 1, here, and starting with verse 2, it says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider. At last, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed up or bound or soothed with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. So the daughters of Zion is left as a brood in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, and a besieged city, unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant. We would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. Hear the words of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? To me, says the Lord, I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more fruitful sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the callings of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meetings. Your new moons, and your appointed feast, my soul hates. They are trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cleanse, cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow, and though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for a man like Isaiah. God, we thank you that he spoke the truth. He spoke the words of God, even though it was not popular. And Lord, today, your word is not popular. We live in a world like Judah. Lord, there's sin on every hand. And Lord, we have rebelled. We have rebelled against you. And Lord, we put our fist in your face. And Lord, we know that you will not hear our prayers if we remain like this. Heavenly Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for our churches. And God, let us repent and return to you. For it's in your precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Now, no one demonstrates the man of God, I believe, more than Isaiah. Isaiah, you know, if you study Amos and Hosea, you see in the middle of the 8th century was a time of increasing wickedness in the world. And what great splendor Judah had under Uzziah. But sadly, he died, and the sins and the shame were also the same. Immorality. I think of immorality, and I see that in our country today. I see no shame amongst the younger generation as they grow up. Injustice to the poor. Man, I look at that. That's what was happening here as he spoke of the drunkenness and the alcohol. You look at it in our country today. Insincerity in worship. Now we're getting on our toes, aren't we? How many people are come to church with no sincere thought of really worshiping God? And the ever-present idolatry is all around us. So this is the world of Isaiah. And it's also not only the world of Isaiah, I believe we'd have to say it's the world that we live in also today. Now here's the mandate from Isaiah, from God to Isaiah. You see, in 742 B.C., the world of Judah, the world of a Jewish lad named Isaiah, or Uzziah, the finest king, he died. He was the finest king since David. And Uzziah, when he died, Isaiah, the Bible says, sought comfort in going to the temple. And there, I believe this young man was born a prophet of God, a man that God commissioned because he would obey God, and he would come to God with the things, and he would speak the words of God, and God gave him a ministry. Maybe we're here tonight, and we're like Isaiah. We've got trouble on every hand, and our world has come crashing down. The only one we can look to is God, and I thank God that we can come to the temple and find God there. And then God not only meets Isaiah at that temple, he gives a ministry for Isaiah. Isaiah was a minister who lived and worked among his people. Clarence McCartney said, great men rise and fall in two categories. Either they are great in thought or in action. Isaiah was great in both. I thought about Isaiah in the shadow of the Assyrian army. He stood shoulder to shoulder with all of Judah's kings. And he said these words, fear not. Fear not, for the Lord is with us. You see, we need today people who will stand up and be counted for God. I still believe in our nation, in our society, God is looking for a man or a woman who will literally take the stand for God and stand up and says, this is what the Word of God says. He was truly a giant if you study him. Isaiah was like Moses and Elijah. He was a giant of the Lord. Isaiah was a man that was involved. He went to the pulpit with his fiery sermons and lines, his thoughts. He's quoted all through the New Testament. Have you ever thought about how many times Paul and the New Testament writers referred to the writings of Isaiah? Man, he was from the pulpit to the pew, he would serve God. Now, I wonder tonight, are we serving God like we should? I mentioned this morning, we take God's word lightly. We take our salvation lightly, don't we? Well, I thought about that. I wonder how many cups of cold water. Jesus said, you know, if anyone gives a cup of cold water, how many cups of cold water or soft words of kindness have we spoken to someone this week? Have you encouraged someone along the way this week? I wonder how many times that this week we've confessed our sin, you see, before God, that we might get our lives right. How many fumbling attempts have you made lately to try to tell somebody about the love of God? How many courageous stands have you taken for God this week in public where you may have met someone? How many times have you shared that gospel? You see, the Bible tells us that we need to get up and get busy. I believe we're like Isaiah. We're living in a troubled land. The word says they were living in a very troubled time in their land. And I believe that we are living in a troubled time. It seems to me every year it just continues to get worse and worse and worse. Here's the message that Isaiah spoke. Isaiah was God's spokesperson. Isaiah said, the real problem with you people, real problem with Judea, is not Assyria, it's sin in the land. It's sin in the land. It's not the Assyrian army, he says, we need to fear. We need to fear the sin that's in our land. It's robbing us of all the things God wants us to have. And God said through Isaiah, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. That's what I just read. But he says, if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured, he said, by the sword. And Isaiah begins with a charge of rebellion. Look at what he said. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. That's what we need to hear today. Man, we don't need any flowery sermons. We need to hear about sin. We need to hear about our rebellion. We have rebelled. I take one long look at our nation and I think, oh Lord, help us. Man, when we want abortion to be legal, and we make a morning after pill to be sold over the counter, what are we doing? You see? When we look at our own state, I couldn't help but see all the people down in Austin, and man, I think, Lord, help our state. We're so corrupt and it's from the pulpit to the pew that we're corrupt. And then I look at our city and I say, oh Lord, help us. Help us in our city, for we're not getting the word out. We're not making a difference in the things. And I look at the things that, you know, I don't know about you, but I've been to some of the council meetings, and I've been to some of the things that we see as a city. And you know what? I see things as a church that I don't like. I see people living double lives, and they say one thing in church and do another thing out in public. And we take the Word of God, we take the Ten Commandments of God and the Sermon on the Mount, and we say, Lord, I'm not going to do that. I want to live life my way. And God says, you know, these things will hurt you, drunkenness, alcohol, and all that. And you say, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. And we talk about living, boy, today, living within the bonds of marriage. And our society says, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do what we want to do. And when we talk about worshiping and serving God in our church and taking a firm stand, we're saying, no, I'm not going to do that. And we literally shake our fist at God. We're like Judah. And we raise up our fist at God and say, Lord, I'm not going to obey your Ten Commandments. And we take it out. And we have a Supreme Court that's doing just that. We have a country that's doing just that. We're rebelling against God, and we're saying, we're not going to follow God any longer. Now, we're a country blessed, I believe, by God, but we won't be blessed long. For he says, listen, I've had enough. That's what he says in the Word. I've had enough of your worship. You're bringing your solemn assemblies, you're bringing your offerings and all of that kind of stuff. I've had enough of it. I've had enough when you come to appear me. I'm not going to hear you. You're trampling my courts, you see. Your sacrifices. And I wonder how long. Man, he's talking about not only corruption in the nation, he's talking about corruption in the church. He's talking about a corruption in our religion. And God says, you know, I don't want your burnt offerings anymore. You know what we do? We come to God and we confess our sin and we run right back out there and do them again. And it's over and over and over and over, and it doesn't mean anything, you see. And God says, I've had enough of that. You're trampling under my courts. You're trampling under the Word of God. And I can't bear your sinful assemblies. And that's what they were having. Sinful assemblies. And sometimes I believe we go to church and that's all we have. Just a sinful assembly. And God says, I'm tired of that. It's sickening to see the immorality join hands with the Christianity and try to make it appear as we're friends. You see? It doesn't work. It will not work. Sin and salvation do not mix in God's house. Let me tell you something, folks, and I love every one of you. If sin is a welcome guest in your life and in your house, then God will not be welcome there, because you're living according to the world's standards and not God's standards. If you want God to come into your heart, you want God to bless you, and you're speaking to the choir tonight. I'm not saying you're the ones, but overall in our churches, I was talking a while ago, someone at the back there said, you know, what about Sunday night church? It's gone. A lot of our churches have dismissed Sunday night altogether. Why? Here's the excuses I hear. Well, that we're too busy. Our people are just so busy that, you know, we decided we just wouldn't have church Sunday night. Well, folks, you know what? I believe when the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, that's all day. It don't mean just Sunday morning and forget about it, because you're too busy with what you want to do. It's all day we should remember God. And not only on Sunday, but I believe we ought to remember every day. But you know what? We are too busy. We're like Judah. We're too busy. And God is not a welcome guest anymore in our churches, in a lot of churches, and in our houses, you see. In the seriousness of all this, God says, I'm going to chastise you. I'm going to punish you. There's going to be a punishment. And God says, your country is desolate, and your cities will be burned by fire. Now, folks, he was serious in the Old Testament when he come to talking about doing evil and sin. God didn't laugh at it. God didn't play around with it. We kind of think today, well, you know, we laugh at ugliness. But God says, it's no laughing matter. You're shaking your fist in God's face. You're asking him to approve something he will never approve in your life. When will we learn that God takes sin seriously and punishes sin seriously, and especially in his own people? I hear people all the time tell me, well, you know, we're saved. We can do like we want to. You don't even understand salvation. You know, we can't do what we want to. The Bible says we've been bought with a price. Christ died on the cross for our sins. And sins hurt God. It breaks our relationship with God. It binds us. And it will grind at our heart, and it will lead us to destruction. If we break God's laws, man, we're going to be broke by God. We can't get around it. Every time in the Bible, you read your Bible and you study Isaiah, you study all through the Old Testament, God's people, the Jews, his country, when they got away from God, he caused them punishment to bring them back. He chastised them. He loved them, yet he did not let them get by with it. And I believe he loves us, but he will not let us get by with it. The Bible says, sowing to the flesh will reap disasters. And if you look across at our country today, sowing to the flesh in our homes have reached disaster. We see more broken up families, more broken up homes. Health broken up. Our hearts are broken up. We just see a disaster in our country today. And the Bible tells us, the way of the transgressor is hard. Why can't we see that in our lives? Why can't we understand that as a nation? We're supposed to be a Christian nation. We're supposed to be spreading the gospel to all people. And the Bible says, is there hope? Well, he says, yes, there is hope. You know, every time a prophet would speak, he would seem like he would tell, here's what you're doing. Here's what's going to come of it. But he gives them hope at the end. He says, wash yourselves, you see. That means clean your life up. Get your own life clean and make yourselves clean before God. You know, I pray that one day we'll really have revival in our life where we will get our lives and we will get out to the altar and we'll just stay at the altar and say, God, I want to be clean. I want to do what you want me to do. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes and cease to do evil. That means you need to repent. You need to turn around your ways. You see, Isaiah says, here's what you need to do. You need to repent. Repent. You know, the message hasn't changed, has it? God says, if you will repent and turn from your ways, I will heal your land. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless and plead for the widow. You see, when we repent, it involves we turn from sin and turn to God. That's what repentance is. Isaiah, he was a statesman of the highest order. He was a scholar of thoughts, profound in his ways. He was a reformer. He was a preacher. He was a soldier of God, a scholar with a message that could be understood by everyone. And folks, our message is simple. It's simple in the Word of God. It's a simple message. You cease from your sin and turn to God. You repent from your sin and trust in the forgiveness of God. That's faith. I turn from sin, I turn to God. I simply live my faith day by day, trusting God. As we battle our way through life, our twofold struggle is with sin and sorrow. We all face it, don't we? That's a struggle we battle with every day. I believe if you don't get up in the morning and put on the full armor of God, if you don't get up in the morning and have a song in your heart, you're not going to make it through the day. You're going to struggle with sin. And we do that, don't we? We struggle. It's because we're not in the Word of God enough. And then there's sorrow. We all face sorrow, don't we? We all know the process of sorrow. But you know what? Jesus Christ is the answer for both of them. He says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll wash them white as snow. Tonight, you can make a difference. Folks, we don't need some people in this church to make a difference. If we're ever to grow, if we're ever to be the kind of church God wants us to be, you got to make a difference. It's got to be you. It can't be anybody else. It starts with you. Think about it. You can make a difference if you will turn, if you will repent. Let me ask you something tonight, and you just think about it. If you were Isaiah and your world is caving in, who would you turn to? Would you turn to your husband or wife? Would you turn to God? We've got to turn to God. You see, we're not without hope. The Bible says we're not without hope. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Folks, God will make a difference in your life, but it's got to be you asking Him to come in and change the way you're doing, to change everything we're doing. And I believe God wants us to change as a nation, to change as a state, change as a city, and to change in our own lives. We've got to get our right with God. If we're ever to have heaven on earth, it has to be in Christ Jesus. We're not going to find it in the world ways. And the world every day is pushing in on us. I don't know how Isaiah made it, besides he turned to Christ. He went to that temple to pray. And he got a fresh vision of God. How's your vision tonight? How's your vision of God? The Bible says without a vision, we'll perish. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe we serve a mighty God. And I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference in the time that I've got here on earth. God's given me this pulpit to preach and to teach His Word. He's given you a place of service. Do what you can with what God has given you, and you will make a difference for all eternity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, that we can make a difference. God, your prophet Isaiah shows us just how far we've come away from you. And Lord, we have come away from you. Even as individuals, we've come away from you. But tonight we've got an opportunity to repent and turn around. And God, I pray everyone here tonight would just say, yes, Lord, I want to stand in the gap. I want to be that one that makes a difference in our church and in our town. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you stand if you need to make a decision? Once again, would you come?
Take my life, lead me,
beautiful song.
Lord. Take my
really
life,
mean it.
Lead me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee.
Would you come?
Take my life, lead me, Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Take my life, teach me, Lord.
give to God. You're making a difference.
Take my life, teach me, Lord. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Here am I, oh, send me, Lord. Here am I, send me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Here am I, send me, Lord. Here am I, oh, send me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. You just be praying. Pray for yourself. Pray for our church. Pray for those around you. If you're right with God, well, praise God. If you're not, you've got an opportunity right now just to ask Him to come into your heart and cleanse your life. Get rid of all those impure things that might be there and use you for His glory. Thank you for coming tonight. Danny Woods, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?